We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin Craig speaking. We are thankful you're tuned our way. We invite you to stay with us and pray that the blessings of God will be upon you as the broadcast comes your way. We do thank the Lord for His goodness and for His blessings in every way. And we are thankful for you, our precious congregation. And we're trusting that the songs and the message today will indeed be an inspiration to you if you are a servant of God. And if you're not serving the Lord, may something be said or done on our broadcast today to create in your heart a desire to become a child of God. So we trust the Lord will bless our broadcast to your heart today.
Must Jesus bear the cross alone, and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. How happy are the saints above, who once went sorrowing here, but now they taste unmingled love and joy without a the consecrated cross I'll bear till death shall set me free.
Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of presenting this broadcast service to this precious people today. We pray that the Holy Spirit will accompany this broadcast and work in hearts, work in lives according to the need that you see. You know those that may be passing through deep waters at this time, trials and tests. We're so thankful that you've invited us, you've instructed us to cast all of our care upon you, for you care for us. So bless this precious people, minister to their needs, and may you continue to be with us in our broadcast service today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We do thank the Lord for those of you who take time to let us know that our broadcast is a blessing to you, and we'll be giving you our mailing address at the close of our broadcast today, as usual. And we'd be thankful if you would write and let us know that our broadcast service is a blessing to you. We would also invite you to visit our webpage, where you can listen to a number of our broadcasts and also read our monthly Way of Truth magazine. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org.
Now I don't have to worry about tomorrow, since I've met the Lord of every day. For He's the God of every situation, and if it's best, He'll always make a way. tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. Let the rain fall or the sun shine, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul.
Our subject for today's broadcast, God's plan for your life. And we will use as a text of Scripture, Psalm chapter 16 and verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God does have a plan or a will for every single one of us. Yes, I believe that. Regardless of how many people there may be on the earth today, 6.5 to 7 billion, I believe that God has a plan for each and every one of us. It is true that comparatively few people are allowing God to accomplish His will in their life, but that does not change the fact that God does have a plan. God does have a will. Now, God's plan for you, God's design and order can be seen everywhere. Yes, everywhere. The starry heavens, the earth on which we live, the flowers, the trees, the rivers and streams, the snowflakes, anywhere and everywhere you want to look, you can see God's design and order for things. All show order, all show an all-wise, almighty, all-understanding God. Well, I know the evolutionists have this theory and they have that theory, but that's what it is. It's theory, not reality, not facts. God designed this world and the starry heavens as well. God made laws. We call them natural laws. God made laws that govern this universe, not just the earth alone. So God has a plan for you, regardless of who you are, where you are, what your financial state may be, or your social standing might be. God has a plan for you. He has a plan, and it is evident by the designs and the order of the world in which we live, for God made it. Now, the same God who brought design and order to nature did not forget His highest creation on earth. Yes, I believe that man is the highest of God's creation here on earth. The Bible teaches us that God made man just a little lower than the angels. Now, angels are ministering spirits. Oh, yes, they took on physical form from time to time to bring a message to man, but the angels in heaven are spirit beings, and man here on earth is spirit and flesh. Yes, we are a twofold being. Therefore, we say, and the scriptures say, that God made man just a little lower than the angels. And man is indeed God's highest creation here on earth. So if he made the universe and put such order in it, he's not going to forget his highest creation here on earth. He has a plan for us. Nature has no power of choice. Man is a free moral agent. He may accept or reject God's plan for his life. If we accept God's plan for our life, he'll be pleased to work it out and to accomplish his will through us. If we reject God's plan for our life, then we will have to answer to God in judgment, and we'll have to take the consequences. Now, nature has no power, I say, of choice, but man does. Some people deny that, teaching predestination, but man is a free moral agent. God said, I set before you life and death, good and evil, choose. And God instructed us to choose life. God's word sheds light on our path. His plan of redemption is revealed through his word. Yes, his plan for the redemption of mankind is real to us through his word. Man needs redemption because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when you sell yourself to sin, there's no way that you can redeem yourself, clear up or clean up your life. So there had to be a plan for redemption of the souls of men, and God perfected and performed that plan of redemption. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, came into this world and died on the cross so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be brought back, so that we could be bought back, and God then would be able to accomplish his will in our life. You cannot begin to fulfill God's plan for your life until you are redeemed. And I do want to emphasize that fact. You cannot begin to fulfill God's plan for your life until you are redeemed. Why? Because sin is not God's will for anyone. No one has ever committed a sin in the will of God. Sin is outside the will of God. Sin is contrary to God and to his word. Sin is lawlessness, according to some people. A definition, it is lawlessness. It is disobedience. It is rebellion against God. It is disobedience to the law of God. So sin is never in the will of God. And again, I say, you cannot begin to fulfill God's plan for your life until you are redeemed. God's presence with you is real when you are redeemed. In his presence, our text says, there is joy, there is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So God's presence brings joy. It brings happiness. It brings peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God made his plan of salvation for us to personally enjoy his presence and his presence with us. We enjoy his presence, and God enjoys our presence with him. He came down in the cool of the evening and fellowship with Adam and Eve there in the beautiful garden before they sinned. But when they sinned, they separated themselves from God, and they lost that fellowship. They lost that sonship with God. But again, God provided a redeemer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And salvation, redemption, brings us back into fellowship with God, back into his presence, and we can enjoy his presence. Isaiah the prophet said, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So again, I say, you cannot fulfill God's will for your plan until you surrender your heart and your life to him. Now, God's plan of salvation brings us back into divine fellowship with him. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So the Apostle John wrote, as recorded in 1 John chapter 1, and verse 3. So whenever we are redeemed, whenever we are born again of the Spirit of God, we then are brought back into divine fellowship with him. And again I say, we enjoy his presence, and he enjoys our presence. What a wonderful fellowship this is. And I might also add, not only do we have fellowship with God, but we have fellowship with those who have fellowship with God. We have brothers and sisters who are members of the family of God through redemption. And whenever we are redeemed, they are redeemed, then we not only have fellowship with God, but we have fellowship one with another. The family of God is a special family because they are a family that have been redeemed from sin, have God as their Father, and Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. What a wonderful family, what wonderful fellowship there is in knowing God and in knowing our brothers and sisters through the Spirit. Through God's plan of salvation, he also made provision for us to personally enjoy his presence through his Holy Spirit abiding in us. Jesus said, as recorded in St. John chapter 14 and verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, Jesus Christ was their Comforter while they were here on earth, or while he was here on earth, and he told them that he would have to leave them. He'd have to return to the Father. And their hearts were sad because of the thought of Jesus leaving them. And so he assured them, I will not leave you comfortless, although it is expedient and necessary for me to go. For if I go not away, then the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And you know, we all pass through trials and tests, temptations and sore places, and we do need a Comforter. And there is no Comforter like the Holy Spirit. Oh, I know our brothers and sisters can pray for us. They can give us words of encouragement. And it is a blessing and it is a help, of course. But again, I say there's no Comforter like the Holy Spirit. And whenever we are redeemed and then present ourselves to God, a living sacrifice, and he gives us the Holy Spirit, we have this Comforter abiding in us. The Spirit is not only a Comforter, but he gives us power. Jesus told the disciples shortly before he ascended back to heaven, as recorded in Acts 1, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The Holy Spirit is also a teacher. Jesus told the disciples, whenever the Spirit of truth is come, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. So God's will is not only that we depart a life of sin and be a child of God and have fellowship with him, but it is also his will that we be a temple for the indwelling of the Spirit of God. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, a Spirit-filled Christian is a joyful Christian. Yes, a Spirit-filled Christian is a joyful Christian. Notice again our text, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so a spirit-filled Christian is a joyful Christian. They're a happy Christian. No, I didn't say they were on the mountaintop shouting all the time. Of course there are valleys. Of course there are trials and tests. There are times whenever we feel like we've gone the last mile, as it were, as we can go. But the Lord said, I'll not leave you nor forsake you. I'll not let you be tempted above that which you are able to bear. And in the trial, if we will rejoice more, it'll help us to get through the trial better, possibly quicker as well. So there is joy in the Lord. There is joy in serving the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Let us come into his presence with singing and into his courts with praise. It is wonderful to meet with other saints of God, sing the songs of Zion, hear the testimonies of victory, and hear the preached word of God that feeds our soul. And this brings joy, it brings strength, it brings help to the Christian. I don't understand why some people want to stay away from the house of worship if they really have an experience with God. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, there's a saying out there in the world that absence makes the heart grow fonder. But that isn't true when it comes to worshiping with saints of God. Absence will cause you to grow weaker and eventually lose out in your experience. It is proper and right for us to meet together. We are told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And we not only need to come and fellowship together that we can get out of it what we can, but we need to come together to worship for what we can put into it. All of us can put something into a divine worship service. All of us can fellowship together in the Spirit if we have the Spirit. So a Spirit-filled Christian is a joyful Christian. A Spirit-filled Christian is one who is empowered to carry out God's will for their life and to do His work. And that's our subject for today's broadcast, God's plan for your life. A Spirit-filled Christian is empowered to carry out God's will for their life and to do His work. God does not require of us anything that is impossible. Whatever He requires, He will give us grace to do. I don't know just what it was that the Apostle Paul sought the Lord three times for. He sought the Lord three times to remove a certain thing, but the answer he got was, my grace is sufficient for you. And I believe that we will get the same answer if we seek the Lord, that his grace is sufficient for us. So God has a plan for us, and he'll give us the power and the grace to carry out that plan. Now, it is God's will that we live a happy, peaceful life, and Christ has made it possible. For he said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And so it is God's will that we live a happy, peaceful life. D.S. Warner, the late D.S. Warner, wrote a hymn that we have in our hymn book, Who But the Christian is Happy and Free, Filled with the Glory of God. None in creation so happy as he, washed and redeemed in his precious blood. There are times in every Christian's life when circumstances don't go our way. There are times when we do meet with disappointment. I'm not trying to preach a standard higher than what the Word of God teaches it today. But I do believe God has a plan for your life. And if you follow it, you're going to have a happy life, a peaceful life. So there are times in every Christian's life when circumstances don't go our way. There are times of sorrow and disappointment. But God's plan is that we have pleasures forevermore. Again, our text. And to that end, Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. So it isn't just this time world that we are to have pleasures, but in the world to come, pleasures forevermore. The question I leave with you today, will you let the Lord's plan be worked out in your life? Will you let the Lord plan your life? Will you let Him work out His plan in your life? If you will, you will never regret it. If you will, I say, you will never regret it. For God's plan is always right for every one of us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
From the dust of the earth, my God created man. His breath made man a living soul. For God so loved the world, He
trust that our broadcast has been a blessing to you today. If so, why not write and let us know? Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. We invite you to visit our webpage and listen to a number of our broadcasts, read our monthly magazine. So we invite you to visit our webpage and enjoy the various things that we have there on our webpage. And I'm sure they'll be a blessing to you. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast. And until then, may the Lord's blessings abide.
My.